listening to KNBR, your exclusive home for 49ers play-by-play with Ted Robinson. Now back to Mr. T.
Brerato, Tom Tolbert with you. It is football. Well, it's kind of football season. You get preseason football, which is kind of football. And then you get the regular season. And then when the regular season starts, we get games on Sunday. And we get Steve Young on Wednesdays, which always makes for a entertaining 15, 20, 25, maybe 35 minutes sometimes, depending on how much stuff we want to get to. So we always enjoy talking to Steve. He joins us courtesy of the Ring Central guest line. What is going on, Mr. Young?
So this is a preseason preview. Is this the preview section?
Yeah, we could skip right over it if you want to. I mean, I'm totally fine with skipping over.
No. This is my preseason. Next time we get together, it'll be the real deal. So this is kind of a warm up. I'm going to give you very little as we do in the preseason.
Yeah, don't show me too much.
Yeah.
And don't take that out of context. And don't.
We're going to give you base sets with no.
Got to use the word.
I remember when Bill would make deals with whoever it was, Marty Schottenheimer. So okay, there's no blitzing, right? And then inevitably someone would blitz, and then he'd be like, "Oh, you're gonna do that?" And then it would turn into just mayhem.
Got to make sure you use the word vanilla. We're gonna keep it vanilla.
Keep it vanilla.
That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and then the mayhem.
Keep everybody healthy. And I love this one, too. After every single preseason game, Steve, no matter if the team wins or loses, they talk to the offense, defense. They always say, yeah, we did a few good things out there, but, a lot of stuff to work on. A lot of stuff to work on.
Yeah, Tom Brady's made a career of that, even the Super Bowl. Yeah, it went pretty well. Lots of things to work on,
Tighten
like,
it up.
Tom, you won the Super Bowl. You just won the Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, it went well. We got some things to work on. But there's an art to it. That's the problem. Is guys don't get it. There's an art to dealing with not stuff on the field but off the field. And Tom and Peyton, they're the artists in every spot. And that's why life stays pretty simple. That's why you can, have real complex things in your life and still keep things pretty simple. You're just a master of it.
How was camp? Go ahead.
That sounded really autobiographical right there. No, sounds like someone who's done this about 7,000 or 8,000 times.
Been through it. Been there, done that, Ray.
Believe me, I know.
Ray, I always gave you the best quote. Come on, man. I was always just an open book, right? Like, what did Young say? Nothing. He said that he thought that he had a lot to work on and things were going okay.
Here's where you were the master. You'd spend 15 minutes with a guy, and you would give him stuff that he was absolutely convinced when he was listening to it was just platinum. And then he'd go through his notebook 15 minutes later and realize, I got nothing here.
That's awesome.
He made it sing and I've got nothing. You figured out a way to fool the guy. Oh no, you were it.
You go in to meet with Bill and you thought the meeting went really well. I'd walk out and go, man, I thought I was gonna get ripped. He was pretty good. And then I'd walk down the hallway and I think I've told you this before, I'd see blood dripping down my arm. I'm like, This didn't go so well. I just got sliced up, and I didn't even notice it,
Oh, yeah. No, surgery without scars.
Hey, how was your I'm curious, Steve, your mindset training camp when you were a backup as opposed to what it was like your first year as the starter. After Joe had been traded, you come to camp, now you're the guy. How did that change? Maybe not your preparation and how you went about it, but maybe – how you felt about yourself and how you wanted to be perceived and how you thought people maybe perceived you.
Well, that's a drama that Tom, you're too young to really have to go through again. But, I'd started in two leagues and a lot of games. And then, Bill told me that Joe wasn't going to be as healthy. And I'd come and I now sat for 4 years frustrated, did my job, but it was a lot of drama around that. So my preseasons were very focused because that meant, I'd get some snaps, I'd get some opportunities, and I was going to, and Bill always, Bill pushed me. I mean, 87, 88, he threw me in, right away and told Joe, Steve's going to play. And, so I, I looked at preseason as ready, getting ready to play and play 16 games. Now, I knew that probably wasn't going to happen, and it didn't, but it ended up being four or five. And so, to me, preseason, I kind of thought myself as a starter. I always kind of imagined myself that way, upset that I wasn't, you know, irritated that I didn't get, you know. And so it's just, for me, the whole thing was, you know, then, you know, you guys probably forget, maybe you don't. In 92, 93, Joe was on the sidelines, and I played both those seasons, in 91 and 92, I'm sorry. And so I played 2 years with him on the sidelines, and then he was traded the third year. So preseason was never, you know, preseason was the most enjoyable in 97, 98 with Mooch, because Steve Mariucci brought joy and fun into the game. You know, George was not the most, you know, jovial guy in the world. And when Mooch showed up and he had fun and I started having fun, that's when preseason was – I wish preseason never ended in 97, 98. It was a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, though, I don't know if you knew this or not, but when it was Joe, you, and Steve Bono, fantastic preseason wager on the four. You guys were like covered every game. You go from Joe to Steve to Bono.
You knew you were going to score some points, and you couldn't, because everybody's making hay. Everyone was trying to make their spot, and we had a great team and a lot of depth. I don't remember what our records were. I was probably pretty good in the preseason. Not that you care too much about that, because you're just trying to get better
and cover.
Cover.
Do we win?
No. And you know what? I hate that. I have friends. I grew up on the East Coast, and we've got some friends that, you know, they're one's a bookie and one's everyone's gambler. Everyone wants to go high lie and, you know, horses and dogs and just all the stuff. And I never really did it. But my buddies, and so when I started playing, they would, you know, I'd hear from them. They go, "That game was fixed. That game you play was fixed." I was like, "You have no idea. We couldn't fix that if you tried." You know, that game is so furiously fast, and everybody's just, you know, every inch of your body is out there exposed and going for it. Like, you're telling me that they were convinced that game was – you guys are idiots.
I have to ask, who's the one choosing your friends?
These are all the friends. This is where you grow up. You know, it's the East Coast stuff, you know. Remember, I grew up in the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah, Hardscrabble.
Hardscrabble.
Yeah. Was driven to school uphill in the snow both ways each day.
Other side of the tracks. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me why I play golf right-handed, because I couldn't, you know, lefty clubs were expensive.
Yeah. Exactly. Anything else? You know?
Is there anything you learned?
You whittled a shed one winter or something?
When you're watching.
Move on.
When you're
watching. There's nothing here.
There's nothing there. Nothing to see here. Is there anything when you're watching, Steve, that you learn from preseason?
Watching today, like just games?
Yeah, when you just watch games.
That depends. That's always compelling. I found myself watching the Browns play last week. So there's definitely, you can get some basics. Not as a team. I don't really watch. I can't watch a preseason game all the way through and go, "That team's ready to play." You have no idea. But individuals and things like, you know, I enjoyed watching Johnny Manziel. I think that. He's a kid. When I was watching in college, it just became very apparent to me that there are few guys that I have met that 22 people on a confined space, most guys freak out and they never get quite over it and they never get all the way. And that's generally what weeds people out. There's just too many guys, too many variation, too much activity, too much data, too much. And the 22 guys on the field, they never get a handle on. And some guys literally feel like he could put 40 out there. They're like, "Yeah, it's fine, put 40 and fine." He seems like a guy like that. He seems to be very aware of now he's got some limitations, but man, his cool feet he's got, and that sense of, you know, that innate sense that makes kind of quarterbacks a leg up. He has a leg up because of his innate nature around his ability to handle, you know, a lot of people on the field. I tend to believe that that's going to take him places as long as he doesn't get crazy off the field.
And what about Kaepernick going into the season, Steve? And I'm sure we'll get more into this as the season starts. But with the – I don't know how well the defense is going to be early this year. I don't know what the Aldon Smith suspension is going to be. Bowman's going to be out. I mean, some of the guys aren't getting any younger. And I'm wondering, with Harbaugh, I don't care how many weapons he has. You always feel like he wants to run. He always wants to establish being more physical and being more dominant than the opposition. But I'm wondering if that's going to have to change a little bit this year with the addition of Johnson and, you know, Frank Gore. Although Frank Gore plays like he's 27 every single year. Every year we go, is this the year maybe you think Frank Gore needs some help at running back? That was like 5 years ago.
The pivotal issue you just hit on was Frank. Frank is the most underrated football player. I mean, I'm not, and this is not hyperbole, honestly, I've ever known. He's a well-known, well, you know, everyone understands Frank Gore's a great player, but no one has any idea how great he really is. And I would, and one of the best backs I've ever seen or watched play. I mean, he is just, the things he does, the things he helps with in all facets of the game, the kind of guy he is on the field, you know, reminds me, he's just a really, really good player. And you know that it's coming. And it's inevitable. What running back is at the top of their game at 35? It's just, you know, so rare. And what is Frank, 32?
27, so, as far as I know.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just telling you, even Frank's going to have to show some wear. And that's what he's got to be really careful of, because when Frank's on the field, things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
But Frank's going to have to find times when he's going to have to be off the field. And so, that you know, Colin's going to have to drop back and read some defenses and deliver footballs and go, you know, kind of not just move the ball 20 to 20, but put the ball in the end zone without Frank doing it all, you know, doing a lot of the yeoman's work. And so that's going to be a real challenge. That's new. I think it's got to come at some point. And I think there's the injuries. The defense, they're not going to be as nailed as they've been. Smith's been the best defense or top two in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have some trouble. Navarro's going to be out. Like you said, you know, if Justin Smith is hung up at all, he's the secret. He's the guy that makes it all happen. If he gets hung up at all, this defense could get, you know, always be in the top 10, but they're not going to mow everyone down. So they have to figure you got to score 28 week to week. That puts a lot more pressure, you know, in a lot of places.
When was the first year that you started talking about Frank Gore the way you're talking about him now? Because my theory has been, people have been trying to guess when he's going to be done since he was 26.
Well, because of the leg. You thought that that's going to show up. And you kept, you know, and that's why.
I understand why. I was wondering the first year started thinking.
But no one can understand the little thing. And even in his running game, he might not explode for 80, but how many guys really do that change games? A couple. But wouldn't you rather have a guy that – made every first down, third and four, and he got you five because of his unique, incredible capability to wait and hold and roll and die. He has made more first downs just purely on guts and guile. And then he, you know, he just, I guess it's been a half a dozen years for me. I mean, I thought this way with Frank even before the Jim Harbaugh, you know, came in 11. I thought he was a phenomenal football player.
No, I guess because the back of my mind, I've always been, boy, this is the year he's really going to start to show it, and this is the year he's really going to start to show it. And I've been wrong 4 years in a row. So this year I've decided he's just playing until forever. He's never getting old.
Look, it's like Drew Brees coming out a couple weeks ago saying, I'm 35, I feel like I can play 10 more years. I get it, Drew. I get how you feel, because I'm at 35, I was still rolling. And then I retired at 38, and I probably could have played a year or two more. So you can say that you – but Warren Moon played post 40. You can stay in great shape and fiddle with it, but you know, at 35 a running back, 40 a quarterback, that's a Maginot line. So I think I think it's inevitable. I think coaches will be foolish to treat Frank any other way than we got to make sure that he doesn't touch the ball too many times. He's on the field too many times. That'd be foolish not to start to treat it like something to to take care of.
At what point during your career, Steve, did you notice that the bruises, aches, and pains just stayed with you longer?
You do. I mean, you get over 30. You can tell. It's like, man, it's like I'm Tuesday and crap, it hurts. So you do notice that, but not a lot. I think Drew Brees was telling the truth. 35, I don't notice that much physically. What I noticed more than anything when I got 36, 37 was the stupid speech the coach would make. I can't take it anymore. You know, it's a kid's game and a young man's game in many ways. And so as you get older, you feel foolish in some of the stupid things that are said to get people motivated to play football, and that you're associated with the cheer and the breakdown, and that, you know, you're like, I can't do that anymore. I just feel like it is, and it's true. You know, yeah. I talk to even I know Peyton Manning. He's got to be feeling this way. He loves the game, which I understand. I totally understand. But all the other stuff around it, it gets kind of, you know, you're like, I'm a little old for this.
You didn't want to do the thigh pads breakdown anymore? Hit the helmet, yeah, hit the pad? Hit the helmet, hit the pad?
all the motivational speech and the coach playing it's just some of the, you know, just, at some point, you used to listen to coach like, yeah, I'm right, yes, you know, and then suddenly you got all these like, that's dumb. That doesn't make sense.
Have you ever seen anything as dumb, though, as Jim Zorn when he was in Washington, the hip, hip, hooray? And I know that. I think that went back to old George Allen thing.
Let me tell you, if Jim Zorn wins, hip hip hooray would have been like a big thing.
Would it have been the who's got it better than us before who's got it better
exactly.
than us took off?
Who, you know, because if you're winning, that's the truth. You can come up with anything. It's like, that is so cool. You know, when you're losing, that thing is stupid. It's no,
well,
it's all about just.
I mean, Well, because if somebody, you know, if you lose a game and somebody says, who's got it better than us? The obvious answer is, yeah, the guy's in the other locker room. For
one. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Go down the hall, take a left. You'll find out who's got it better than us.
That's true. Winning covers everything. There's no question about it. Personally and as a team and in the front office and everywhere else. You know. No question.
Talking to Steve Young, who will be how's the family doing? How's the do you guys
doing great.
Get the vacation stuff going this summer?
Yeah, my oldest, I swear, I have a lot of my brother's and sister's family in Utah and in Phoenix as well. And we have 30, you know, there's 35 grandkids. And so for my parents, so there's all these cousins. And so my oldest is old enough now to kind of travel on his own, and he just begs to be with him. So it's been a summer of cousin rotation. And I think we finally get him back this weekend. I don't know if I've seen him for 2 weeks. But it's been a fun summer.
You're probably texting, right? Text back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, he's in that mode where you call him and said he goes, well, hey, Brandon, what's happening? What are you doing? Nothing. How's everything going? All right. Well, what are you going to – he just grunts. Nothing.
And how old is he?
13.
Oh, you got another 6 years of that, minimum.
Yeah, no, I'm just warming up.
Oh, yeah. Your daughters – they will talk to you every day on stuff you would pay money not to hear. But your son, forget it. That's
it's over.
Three words a day.
Oh, no.
Every day.
And it's also gotten to be where I'm singing in the car, you know, I'm happy. And he goes, Dad, don't sing that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, you're and so he literally gets so frustrated. And I'll be singing like, don't, Dad, stop. Like, son, everyone sings a little bit. No. Can't do it. It really irritates me. Don't do it.
You know what? Pull the car over to the side of the road.
Tell him,
you being in the car irritates me. Now, either I sing or you walk.
Ray, I do need a little Ray Rattle parenting. Not a lot. There are a few things I think you could help me with. A couple.
Well, this is one of them.
That's not a bad idea right there.
Creative neglect is not a bad thing.
I bet you there's not that many. But that was a good one. I like that one.
Well, it's not felonious.
Well, you know what my favorite is? When they're driving me nuts, you drop them off to school, and you get out and give them like a big hug and try to give them a big kiss and send them on their way. Just very angry.
Best.
Stop it. Stop touching me. Get off me, Dad.
I like to pick them up. Like, pick them up like you're going to create, you know, like you pick them up like a little baby, you know?
Yeah.
Like, freak out.
see, that wouldn't – I'd go a different way. I'd slow the car down, but I wouldn't bring it to a stop. All right, get out. Time to learn things. You're off the dime.
They call that free-range parenting. That's a new thing, a fad.
Yeah, rogue parenting.
Free-range parenting where you don't give any, you just let your kids roam. And they find their own way, and you know, your eight-year-old just, you drop them off miles away, and you're just like, look, you just got to ask around and get your way home. You know, you got to find your, you know, find something to eat and free-range parenting. I think it's just that's alias for I don't care parenting.
No, it's not. No. There's a benefit to teaching children how to live feral.
Uh-huh. bands of kids running around Alameda.
Absolutely, yeah, just packed. I loved you
then, and I love you now.
Hey, you made it out of the flag football game without a serious injury.
Oh, I was hurting my shoulder. I mean, I told you I had that surgery. I was dying. I couldn't even, my arm was like, scared. I'm like, what am I doing? Stop. This is getting ridiculous. I mean, I just like, my arm was like falling off. I wish it was better to go out for routes that day.
Accuracy wasn't what you were hoping for?
No. In fact, the pain is like, what am I doing? Jeez.
I told you.
It was fun to see everybody. It's fun to see, all the guys and that was fun to see. Anytime you get together, the guys. I saw some guys from the old LA Express days the other day.
Really?
And JoJo Townsell and I just like, we've got to get together. You know, it's like you had that time together. It was awesome for a couple of years. You need to find a way to get back together. John Fox was a coach. You know. That's who I saw, John Fox up in Tahoe. And I said, we got to get everyone of the old Express days back together. He thought that was a great idea.
I got to be honest with you. I feel like I can say this. We've been doing this for a long time now. I was a little disappointed in your golf game.
Bro, my golf game was – I hadn't played – it was the first scored round I'd had in years. So I went up there raw. I told Trent Dilfer, I practiced my backyard. I'm going to see – if you can pull this off where you play no golf and you go play tournament. And I'm going to tell you, Tom, I had it going for a brief time, and then the caddy started telling me tips. Hey, you got to try this and that. And I was like, then it collapsed. And then the last round, I finally said it like a hockey stick at one point and said, let's see if we can scrape this around. I'm doing it again. I can't do that again. I lost it. My brand took a hit on that one. I gotta get back up here and do a little better.
My brand took a hit.
That's what Kevin Millar, my buddy, said. He called me and said, Steve, our brand took a hit. Like, it did. I have to admit it.
Good God.
Oh, there's nothing better than
that. It was a joke, Ray.
What the hell happened to you?
You can't laugh.
I was laughing.
My brand took a dog. What an idiot. He thinks he's got a brand.
No,
hey,
no.
Relax. We're having fun.
I think the important thing here is that, first of all, you were spending time with Kevin Millar, which is its own punishment.
He's the best.
He is the best, but he's clearly insane on about 8 different levels.
No, it's just a public image.
Oh, it's part of his brand.
Right, part of his brand, exactly. His
okay, brand. I got it now, yeah. Hey. I'm selling insanity. I got it. He's perfect.
It's working for you because you're very brand aware. See? So good. He's right.
Boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm on the cutting edge of insincerity. You're right.
That's your brand.
But see, Ray, I'm very careful with you because I'll make fun of you to a point and then I don't want you actually get started on me because then I would get crushed. So I just, let's keep it, you know.
Let's keep it in the middle of the ring.
If Ray ever wanted to unload on you, it would be the kind of thing you did not want to be a part of. He'd remind you of some stupid thing I did back in the past that I was humiliated and I forgot about, and Ray would go, yeah, do you – and I just, Ray, you and I have a little thing. We'll just keep laughing on the radio. Don't tell him any of the stupid things I used to do.
It's what separates us from the animals.
Oh, boy.
Hey, before I let you run, who'd you play with the last round up there in Tahoe?
It was memorable. The kid who scored the winning goal in the Olympics hockey.
Ruzioni?
No,
like 80,
this year.
This year?
And against the Russians, yeah.
You mean Oshie?
Toshi, yeah.
TJ Oshie, okay.
Yes.
He actually made like 7
penalty shots in a row. He scored the winning goal repeatedly.
Yes, over and over. It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
So you got Oshie, and who else do you get? Obviously made a big impression on you.
Winston Churchill?
Miami Dolphins, defensive line.
Taylor?
Last year. What?
Jason Taylor?
Jason Taylor, sorry, Jason.
My goodness gracious.
God, it's a great tournament we didn't see.
I
remember more of it than you do.
I got to imagine you took both those guys down.
Kids are trying to get in and they're distracting me, so I'm a little bit confused.
Put the phone on speaker.
You had to beat Taylor and Oshie, didn't you? You took them down. You're a quarterback, for God's sakes.
No, Oshie's a good player.
Is he?
I started I hit my, the both of them, it was awesome because I played with Tim and Jerry the first couple of days, and those guys, you know, really pretty good players.
Yeah.
And so I scraped it around, and we survived it. Luckily, 17 and 18 parred or, you know, pulled it off. But these guys, it was just, there was no one around, and it got really kind of ugly. But so I, first couple of holes, I was killing it. And TJ goes, man, you're good. I go, TJ, just hang a second, bro. It's about to get real. And then about five holes later, he goes, man, you're bad.
It happened like that.
It happened like that.
Just
that
quick.
Never again. Never again my brand's going to take a hit like that, Tom.
We always need the Steve Young brand to be up front and center. Looking good.
Copyright
proud.
Bro.
Bro. Look, you guys, I mean, you must have called me to come bring me on to just, you guys, have you just worn out? You just, end of August, you're like, I'm worn out. What can I, what do we have left in the bottom of the barrel? Brian, did he just go, what's the dregs that are left for the summer? Who can we get on here to just kill some time?
I'm pretty sure when we have you on that that's not what we're thinking.
Seriously.
That's
we're going up market.
It's our preseason. It was both. It was all three of our preseasons. We just wanted to kind of get it back going and touch base, see what's going on.
All right.
We're slipstreaming off the incandescence of your brand.
Give me one NFL issue that we can just kind of finish here so someone who's listening can go, oh, yeah, no, you know, that was semi-interesting compared to everything else they were drivelling about.
All right. Did the NFL blow it by only suspending Ray Rice two games?
You got to have a big picture here. There was context to it. I get it. I get that they all, that they all met, and that there was, you know, but there's bigger issues, bigger picture. It's the NFL was representative of a huge, you know, image, and this was one of those issues that just was really fraught with trouble. And Ray, I guess, the commissioner, I know what he did. He played it straight up. He goes, this is how I feel about it. By interviewing him and talking to him and talking to his wife and talking, taking it all in. But the bigger picture was bigger. Right?
No, I agree.
No question.
I totally agree with you.
You could separate.
And so that's the challenge always, right? There's the individual, you know, situation, and there's the macro kind of image that's important in what you're telling people, how you – and that's where it got messed up.
Well, enjoy the rest of the summer, maybe even the rest of the year, rebuilding your brand. I would think by the time we roll around to September, you'll be ready to rock and roll.
No, everyone knows that's a joke, right, Ray?
Of course.
Don't turn on me. You're the guy who's worried about his brand.
I didn't know I had one.
Well, clearly you do.
Well, Millar goes, he called me and he said, dude, our brand took a hit. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, we sucked. I'm like, yeah, we did, but did it really affect our brand?
Great stuff.
Steve, fresh hell is this?
I can't wait till we get a chance to every Wednesday throughout the course of the football season. It'll be a fun year. It's always fun talking to you and always great catching up with you, man.
I did tell Walmart, but I've been out 15 years. There's not much to brand anymore, buddy. It's over.
Brand, bring it back.
And he wept quietly in despair.
Steve, always a pleasure. I hope your family's doing well, man. We'll look forward to talking to you in a few weeks.
Yeah, take care.
All right, see Steve. You. Steve Young.
He's a beauty.
A little over here, a little over there. Gotta love it.